Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grit, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the clubhead is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. My name is Hardy. Thanks, as always, for joining me on this Saturday morning, this long holiday weekend, which for a lot of people started, what, like a week ago yesterday? Some people are turning this 4th of July into like a, I don't know, like a 10-day break or something like that, which is great. Not for me, but a few days off here and a chance to get out onto the course, hopefully is in your future. I know it's in mine. And to me, this is a perfect opportunity to not play your normal golf. It's a mini holiday, whether you're on vacation or not. I'm taking the opportunity to hit up a par three course, either with my daughter and or my wife. And my daughter and I have only played together a couple of times. My wife will reluctantly go out onto the course with me once every couple of years. And she really is the worst because she can play. She just chooses not to. I mean, if I had that kind of natural swing and natural ability, I'd be out there all the time. But for her, it's just, I don't know. I think it's a matter of not playing all that much, and she just doesn't get bit by it like so many of us do. So my only point is this. If you have a chance to play this weekend, change it up a bit. Go out and play an alternate shot with a relative or, your mom or dad or son or daughter or spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and just mix things up a bit. This is, to me, if you're talking about playing golf over a long 4th of July weekend holiday or any kind of holiday weekend, it's a great opportunity to really just forget about the score, forget about everything, but just having fun. So that's my goal, at least, for when I get a chance to get out this weekend. For today's show, we will have a visit to Core Golf, as opposed to the guys coming in here. I went out there and got a chance to watch Bill McInerney take another one of the instructors through a series of like drills, battle stations, all this stuff. Fascinating the way they go through the progressions of drills to hitting balls, back to the drills. It's really cool stuff. So we'll kind of eavesdrop on that. That'll be coming up a little bit later. Also, our friend Paul Gazbekian, title is Performance Institute. He's a trainer at Equinox. He's going to be giving us some tips for training in season. A lot of times we talk about maintaining pliability, flexibility, mobility, as Paul likes to say, in between rounds or in the off season. This is really for maintaining your workouts during the golf season without interfering with your golf. I mean, I use it as an excuse. Oh, I'm not going to work out. I don't want to play golf. I don't want to be sore. But Paul has a way around that. So no more excuses on that front once Paul shows up. But to start today, I want to visit back with our friends at Shaker Hills. I got a chance to get out there earlier this season, talk with the owner, get out onto the course with the head pro. If you missed it, you'll get a chance to hear it again right now. Our visit to Shaker Hills Country Club here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, I should say I'm joining Fred because we're sitting here on the patio at his golf course, Shaker Hills Country Club. Fred Curtis is the owner. Fred, thanks for having us out here today.
Nice to be with you. Thank you for coming.
First of all, what town are we in? Because depending on what map you look at, it might tell you Harvard, might tell you somewhere else.
Oh, it's Harvard, Mass.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
01451.
All right. You got the zip code and everything. It sounds like a man who knows what he's talking about. So if you would please, Fred, you told me a few minutes ago that you bought this golf course a few years ago. Were there not any like skydiving schools available? Something, a little less risky than buying a golf course? I mean, what are you thinking? You bought a golf course yourself. What? How did that come to be?
A dream come true, really. I saw an opportunity. I'm a man that follows up on opportunities, and I saw a tremendous former Golf Digest number one public course in Massachusetts. I saw it in bankruptcy. I saw an opportunity at an auction to get it at the right price, and I think more importantly, architecturally, I saw a tremendous opportunity where the original designers had missed a couple, I think, critical items that make that were opportunistic and that I feel really allowed the course to just be completely different from any other golf experience.
Well, as we sit here, we're on the lower patio, which is just off, like the restaurant and pro shop here. But from where we sit right now, we're not even up above. I can see number 9 green, number 1 tee box, number 10 tee box, and 18 green. It's a convergence of tee boxes and greens that I've really never seen on any golf course anywhere.
It is. It's completely unusual. And I think that there lied the opportunity where the original designers had the, for instance, the 18th hole finishing almost a mile away from the clubhouse, and they also had items like cart charging stations, electrical cords, and such in the main area of the course. And I just saw a tremendous opportunity of improvement. And who would buy a golf course and keep it the same? I think it's not a signature hole. I think it's signature hole after signature hole after signature hole. And so on.
When you rerouted things, and you did have to, as you said, blow some stuff up and change some things around, you did lengthen it a little bit, at least on one hole, on 18, right?
On the 18th hole, yeah, we lengthened that from an original par 4 straight 440 to a sweeping, dramatic dogleg finish, 570 yards. Altogether, from our tips, we're approaching 7,000 yards, which is championship style, and rightfully so, because this is a championship course.
So let's talk about the club overall here for a second. Shaker Hills Country Club, can anybody come out and play? You're looking at members only. What's the status of people coming to play out here?
Yeah, we do invite the public. We're mainly a higher-end public course, so absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you look at our demographic, you'll see that most of the golfers here are driving upwards of an hour to get here. If you go to the parking lot at this moment, you will see, Hardy, license plates from New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island, and we're proud of that. We're not your neighborhood golf course. We're a destination place. We've had people from Logan Airport that just have a few hours in town that have been recommended to come here.
Yeah, and from what I've seen so far, that's a great explanation of this. When people say, I'm new to Boston or I'm coming in, I want to play golf, there's one or two places I think a lot of people think of, either due to their proximity or just their notoriety. But this is one to add to the list. If you're going to play one golf course in the Boston area, just from what I've seen so far, this looks like one of those spots.
You got to see it to believe it. The beauty alone, 260 acres, not a house on the course, completely pristine. This is Harvard, Mass., which is a diamond in terms of heritage and such. So I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
So you said you are open to the public, but you do have members here also?
We do. We're semi-private, so we do have memberships available from a student, golfer, military, right up through seniors, and our deluxe packages as well.
Right, and there's a lot to take in here. I mean, we were up on that second floor outdoor patio, all brand new. There's tons of places to sit and eat and drink and fireplaces. So I'm guessing this is kind of an event destination too, weddings, parties, stuff like that.
And corporate golf outings are specialty. Full 200-plus person dining area. You saw the sprawling bar area. Of course, everything situated with that beautiful clubhouse atmosphere and golf right off the clubhouse, which I think is delightful for those types of functions. we were just rated, I'm proud to report, by Golf Advisor. We got just right off the press just recently, number four in all of New England. And that's based on the reports of hundreds upon hundreds of golfers that have tried different courses around New England.
I want to get out there and take a look. So you said that you don't have a signature hole here. Tell me about a couple of your favorites.
Well, the 18th, of course, newly designed and you know, right from my brain. I favor that one as the most special hole. But again, it's signature hole after signature hole here at Shaker Hills. There's got to be at least 12 to 15 holes that would stand up to the signature hole at most public courses. Number eight strikes me. Number two, right over the hill here, 550 yard par five. I mean,
well, you're gonna have to pick one. You're gonna have to pick someone to take me out on the course, because I want to go play one hole either with you or with your pro or somebody, and we'll get a sense of what this course is all about. So sure. You want to pick one? You want to go out there? What do you want
to
do?
I think we head out to number eight.
Okay,
sure.
All right, good. Let's head out to number eight, and we'll see what it's all about here at Shaker Hills Country Club in Harvard, Mass. Well, Fred took me on a little tour to get out here, but let me tell you, it was worth it. And he wasn't lying. There are a ton of what you could call signature holes here at Shaker Hills Country Club. Now I'm standing on number 8 tee box with the head pro, Andy Jordan. I know you. I know you from back in the day.
It's been a while, Hardy, but finally back together a decade later.
That's right. That's right. It's been a long time. So you're out here at Shaker Hills now, and we're standing here on the tee box of what, I mean, I don't even know. It looks to be a moderate to lengthy par four, but this must play longer because there's water and it's uphill at the end.
Yeah, so we've got about a 400-yard par four. A lot of the players will actually hit it right to avoid the water. Today we're going to try to go over. Nothing like hitting your first tee shot of the year. 240-yard carry over the water, but we'll give it a go.
Well, this is the lament of every head pro, is that they don't play any golf, especially when you got a new baby at home. So I won't be too critical, but I'm going to watch you play this hole, because that's a lot better than watching me play this hole, all right? So let's tee one up here. Let's see how you do. And just, you know, hey, swing, let me be the head pro. Just swing easy, okay? Oh, daddy long legs. What are you talking about, first swing of the year? No chance that is your first swing of the year.
No, maybe second swing, but it's not too far behind.
Did you take my advice? Did you swing easy? You swung out of your shoes. Come on.
Yeah, I went after that one.
All right, well, it shows. All right, nice shot. All right, we've arrived at head pro Andy Jordan's tee shot here in the eighth hole at Shaker Hills Country Club. You left yourself on this 400-yard hole. I'm going to say you're about 110, but you're uphill.
Definitely straight uphill. Luckily, we're downwind today.
So what are you going to hit?
So I'm going to hit a gap wedge here, try to fly it to the back of the green where the pin is.
We're all counting on you. Gap wedge too much? Gap wedge, no, looks like you're about pin high. Nice shot.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a tough green to hit because you can't see any of the green from down here. So you just have to trust the yardage and go for it.
Are you on?
Should be on the right side.
Yeah, well, should be. Let's go see. All right, gap wedge was enough, but barely found the right front right portion of the green. You left yourself some real estate here for your birdie.
Yeah, I left about 35 feet on the table here, but
you know what? I'm going to stand up here near the hole. I've got more faith in you than you do. It's going to take me a while to get here, though. 35 feet, my ass. This is 40 if it's an inch. Okay, Andy, I'll tend the pin for you. Ball is on its way. Ooh. Assisted by the wind. You know what? He did roll it up here close. I'm not going to give that to you, though. I want you to knock that in the hole. Nice par. Andy Jordan, head pro, Shaker Hills Country Club. Thanks, buddy.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club with our friend Paul Gazbekian from Equinox. He's a member of the Titleist Performance Institute, which sounds like some bunker in Colorado.
And a longtime friend of the show, Paul, thanks for being back on.
Thanks for having me back.
It's been a while since we had a chance to sit down and talk, so I'm glad to do this today because, I mean, we're in season now. We are playing. We're not talking about ramping up and getting ready. We're not talking about stuff to do in the off season. This is legit in-season golf fitness hardcore talk here, buddy.
You got it. You got it.
So, I mean, this is a big problem, I think, for guys who want to do the right thing
right.
and get the most out of their game, being able to do it within the confines of playing during the season. I use it as a half-ass excuse. I don't want to work out. I don't want to be sore when I go play golf. But I think people think that way.
Right.
So we're going to be talking about stuff to do now that we're playing. We're into the season. Right. Everyone's out there. The type of stuff we should be doing while we're already ramped up and already playing.
Right, right. And I think the biggest thing to, you know, the biggest question to ask is, you know, how much time you actually have available? Because a lot of the golfers that I work with are, you know, kind of ramping down on their workouts a little bit because they want to be out on the range, want to be practicing, they want to be playing more rounds. Maybe they have a league that they're involved in. They're definitely out there on the weekend. So, you know, endurance work is going to suffer, strength work is going to suffer, you know, overall time availability for workouts is going to suffer. So it's important to identify, do you have 1 day, 2 days, 3 days available, you know, to get those workouts in? And that will determine, you know, what each of those workouts is going to look like. Because if it's 1 day, it's pretty simple. You're going to try and jam as much into that hour and a half as possible.
Does that work? I mean, can you work out once a week? If you're going to the range, you know, a couple times a week,
right,
you're getting out to play another time or two.
Right.
I'm only going to have 1 day that I'm going to set aside for my workout, and it may not even be the same day. It might be on a day I'm supposed to play, but it's pouring rain all day instead of workout today. Can you get enough out of a 1 day a week workout to have it be beneficial to your game?
Well, it's going to be more beneficial than doing nothing, certainly. I mean, I think that the number one thing with workouts for any athlete, especially golfers, is to minimize any chance of injury, right? Because we're swinging the clubs, we're generating all that club head speed, we're out there for hours doing all that practice. You and I have talked a lot about back and back pain and injuries and things like that. So that's the number one thing we're looking to do. The other thing we're looking to do is sustain all that work we put into the gym to build up our strength, to build up our power, to build up our speed. We're looking to maintain that as best as possible. So if we can get the frequency up 2 days, maybe 3 days, depending on the time you have available, that's going to be better. But one is better than nothing, you know, in relation to injury prevention and kind of sustaining those strength, power, speed levels.
Okay, so let's start with the first one, workouts that will help us avoid injury on the golf course. Now, we're not talking about, for the most part, major stuff. We're just talking about those nagging aches and pains that you feel maybe starting at this point in the season and certainly later on, stuff that begins to bother you a little bit. What are the common things that people experience throughout the golf season, and what type of workouts can we do to help ward those off?
I mean, a lot of it's going to be back. I mean, typically, you know, 65-75% of golfers are going to experience some sort of back discomfort, to pain, to injury. You know, so when we look at what can we do, that's going to be a kind of an important area to kind of focus on. So even though we're kind of in maintenance mode, we do want to have focal points. And if we have back issues that we're trying to prevent, you know, we're going to focus on hip mobility. We're going to focus on thoracic spine mobility. And we're going to focus a lot on things like breath work and core stabilization and things like that, so that we may not spend as much time on, you know, strength maintenance and power maintenance and speed, agility, things like that, just because, you know, we're having to deal with those aches and pains.
That, to me, that was like one of the biggest revelations, the pliability and the, I know you don't like flexibility,
mobility.
The mobility in the hips has so much to do with your back and the back pains that you can experience.
Right.
So let's talk about a couple of things we can do.
Okay.
In terms of opening that area up, Paul goes back in from Equinox. So what do we do? How does working on the hips help us keep from getting a sore back?
Well, because the back is kind of stuck between those two areas. So it's between the hips and the upper spine. And so if we have a lack of mobility in those areas, that energy is going to transfer to someplace else. We have a lot of movement, probably more so in golf than in most other sports. That energy is going to transfer somewhere. And if we don't have the core stability to kind of deal with that, then that's where a lot of those back injuries come from. So, you know, when we get into the gym, we're going to do things like rolling. We're going to take a lacrosse ball into the hips. We're going to get on the legs and the front of the thighs and dig in there and help loosen up some of that tissue. We do want to, go through about a 10 to 15 minute warm up. Could be a light jog, bike, something to get that body's core temperature up to make that tissue pliable. So when we get in there with the roller or the balls, and we're doing this, dynamic warm up, loosening up those areas, it's going to be a lot easier.
So you're literally talking about not doing necessarily a workout. It's all stuff geared toward mobility, pliability in the hip area. We're not talking about doing exercises necessarily, just stuff to kind of roll those areas out and keep them loose.
Right. And when we roll out, it's going to be different than a post-workout rolling or if you have like a separate day and you want to focus on mobility, it's a little bit different because we want to work on mobility, but in preparation for exercise activity.
Okay.
Right. So the technique is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to talk about some of the videos that I'm going to be posting to kind of show the differences. Right. But there is a difference. So the technique with the rolling, it's going to be a little bit quicker. We're just trying to, you know, turn these switches on to wake the tissue up, wake the muscle up, get it pliable, get it moving.
All right, let's talk about them right now. And we'll have some of the videos here posted that you can take a look at. But when you're doing a rolling out, we're talking about using either tennis balls,
right,
or rollers or foam rollers,
right,
or something,
right,
on the hips. What's one of them we can do to keep that area loose, feeling good,
right,
to ward off back pain on the golf course later on? What's one of them?
I mean, I usually just like to sit on it, kind of cross leg and get on the glutes, right? And so I'll just sit there and I'll roll back, you know, fairly quick for about a minute or two until I feel things just kind of loosening up. Then I'll go down the side of the leg, the IT band, right? And I'll spend a minute or two there, until I feel things loosen up. Then I'll get onto the front of the leg. Some of that stuff is going to be pretty painful. And if it is painful at touch, that is a big red flag that post-workout, you probably need to be spending more time there. It should not be painful to the touch. But again, our objective is to be loosening that stuff up. So I'll get, you know, the glutes, the side leg, the front of leg, the inside leg, as much as you can get into kind of kneading that stuff up and getting it ready for the workout.
Okay. The other thing that you talked about when we first started here was some of the strength and speed that we've been working on. You
right.
said, you know, the long hours in the gym and being able to maintain that and put it to use on the
right,
golf course.
Right.
What are you talking about? I mean, if you've got some of that stuff in the bank, so to speak, how do you maintain it when your workouts have fallen off during the golf season, and now you want to be able to still draw upon that and utilize it and at least keep it at a baseline?
Right. I mean, that's an easy fix. When we start looking at power with golfers, you know, sometimes lacking in power, sometimes lacking in strength. But if the strength is there, then we look at power, we look at speed. A lot of golfers don't train like athletes. So when I talk about speed agility ladder, plyometrics, jumping onto and off of boxes, bounding, leaping, things like that, they don't train like that. So we want to train explosiveness. So when I look at my golfers, when I look at you, I look at you like you're a switchboard. I'm trying to turn switches on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people have that in them. They just need to turn the switches on, and that's going to help create more explosiveness, greater club head speed, greater ball speed, right? And so those are easy things to do. We don't have to put weight on your body. We don't have to load it. It's just, you know, starting with, again, part of the warm-up, dynamic warm-up, we start getting into things like skips and different things like that that start to establish that quickness, that speed, and it's going to help, you know, get into some of the explosiveness later on in the workout.
Okay. Paul, I have one more question for you today.
Sure.
I'm going to throw a total, you know, curveball at you here.
Go for it.
But it has to do with my latest epiphany on the range. I love the range epiphanies, and I had one recently all about balance and how I was able to just absolutely start striping the ball one day consistently by focusing on nothing more than staying in balance during the swing, not caring about where the ball went,
right.
But I am just going to, I'm going to stay balanced. I'm going to have a nice pose finish at the end and everything. And it was a miracle. It was one of those, you know, shining light moments. So is there an exercise? Are there things we can be doing to help us promote balance during the swing?
100%. So, you know, the exercise, when we get into maybe some of the power stuff and definitely towards the end, we still want to be doing a little bit of strength work. It's going to be, you know, a little bit different, you know, because when we're, you know, off season working on strength, we're doing exercise like deadlifts and squats and some of these broader exercises.
Constantly. That's all I do.
Yeah.
It's pretty much deadlift and squats.
You're working hard. You know, but when we, in season, we want to, and we only have an hour and a half available, we want to be doing maybe like a single leg lunge or something standing. We're taking bands and we're lunging and we're twisting at the same time. We're taking, you and I, we had these Viper tubes, and these tubes that you lunge and you press the Viper tube in one direction. So you're getting, you know, multiple segments of the body, multiple components of the body moving at the same time. So you're working strength, stability, rotation, balance, all of these different things, you know, so it's you know, has kind of a multiple benefits to it.
Okay. If you could point us in the direction and tell us where to find this stuff right now, and maybe if you can post a couple of these things related to balance and the other stuff that we talked about, I would love it, because that's something I want to focus more on right now, and maybe actually, you know, pay attention to something that worked for me on the range and do some more work with it. So where can people find this stuff?
We're going to do starting today. I'm going to post up about 5 to 7 videos starting today, starting with the foam rolling that we talked about. For the hip stuff. Then we're going to get into dynamic warm-ups, some of the skipping and jumping and stuff like that, getting into some speed agility work, some explosiveness, getting into some power stuff like kettlebell swings and all that, and then wrapping it up with a little bit of strength work, and then what some of the post-workout flexibility, mobility stuff looks like at the end. So we're going to post up some videos, but there's, you know, tons of stuff out there, definitely on the TPI site as well, that show what these workouts should look like. But starting today on my Instagram page will be these videos.
And your Instagram is?
The Golf Wad.
W-O-D.
W-O-D.
What does W-O-D stand for?
Workout of the day.
Okay, thank you. Of course that's what it stands for. Paul Gusbeckian from Equinox at The Golf Wad, W-O-D.
You got it.
On the Instagram there. And Paul, always good to see you. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me back.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Former NBA player Brian Scalabrine on treating his hair loss with Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard.
Hey guys, life is good right now. My hairline is back to how it was when I was a player, and I feel great. It was creeping back, but I saw my guy, Dr. Leonard and Dr. Lopresti. They fixed me up. I watched Iron Man 1 and 2. It was easy. In and out, same day. Go see him. If you need a consultation, 1-800-GET-HAIR.
For a free consultation with Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard, call 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Make it a light round on Amstel Light this summer when you purchase 2 Amstel Light 12-packs now through July 31st. Receive a free round to one of these exceptional main golf courses like Nonsuch River Golf Club in Scarborough, Sanford Country Club, Bridgeton Highlands Golf and Tennis Club, or Fox Ridge Golf Club in Auburn. Look for the Amstel Light display at participating retailers and enjoy a free round of golf on Amstel Light. Enjoy your refreshing 95-calorie Amstel Light this summer. Must be 21+. Enjoy Amstel Light responsibly. On the 19th hole, rules and restrictions apply.
The 4 for $4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for $4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm junior bacon cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for $4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Hey, it's Felger here, and I've been telling you about MyPillow now for a while and all their great offers. Well, here's another one. The 2-pack offer. Go to MyPillow.com right now and receive 2 premium MyPillows for 1 low price plus free shipping. Again, just go to MyPillow.com and use my promo code Felger, F-E-L-G-E-R, and you'll get 2 premium MyPillows for 1 low price plus free shipping. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and this great 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. They send you your money back. Nothing to lose. MyPillow.com. Click on the 2-pack special and enter my promo code Felger for the special.
Most drivers know that Town Fair Tire sells name brand tires at the guaranteed lowest price. Having New England's largest inventory allows us to buy and sell our tires for less. Plus, we honor all manufacturers' rebates and even honor our competitors' rebates. But at Town Fair, you get even more. The most free services for life. That's why we say nobody beats a Town Fair Tire deal. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
The Sports Hub Golf Club is sponsored by Deep Eddy Vodka, named for the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gather for good times that never seem to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled, made with real all-natural ingredients and juices. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please, day drink responsibly.
What's up, Boston? Here with my good buddy, biker, and attorney Mark Schultz from Schultz Law.
Hey, Zoe. Yep, just got off my Harley, and I'm thrilled about the good weather change.
I bet, man. I see so many more bikes out there now that summer and the nice weather is upon us.
So true, but I'd like to remind all the bikers out there that with the increased traffic comes the reminder to be a diligent and defensive biker. If you get into an accident, please remember that we're here to help you 24/7.
That's right. Connect online at massbikelawyer.com or give them a call at 857-300-5300.
Why wait until November for Black Friday savings when you can score big in July? Dell's Black Friday and July sales event is back and bigger than ever. Get incredible deals on the very latest PCs and gaming laptops with Intel Core processors and free shipping on everything. Plus, don't miss an amazing selection of electronics and accessories. For huge deals, call 800-BUY-DELL. It's their best Black Friday in July ever, but it won't last all summer. So visit Dell.com/Black Friday or call 800-BUY-DELL today.
Every home is unique. That's why I, the Orkin man, rely on science.
Mom! Orkin is here!
Hi. We have a rodent problem.
Rodents do like to find a comfortable home, and even if you get rid of them once, they're great at finding their way back in.
Mom! Soda!
Especially if there's a good source of food.
And a slice of pizza!
But using the latest research and exclusion techniques, I'll customize a treatment for your home that'll send them packing.
Don't forget the ranch this time!
Were you still talking about rodents?
Orkin. Pest control down to a science. Visit Orkin.com for a free estimate.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club here at Core Golf in Natick, 218 Speen Street. I'm here with one of the co-founders. His name is Bill McInerney. Bill, thanks for having us back out.
Thanks for coming out. I'm actually pretty excited that you're in our area now versus me being in your studio.
You would rather be outside actually hitting golf balls and doing instruction than sitting in a basement in Brighton?
Believe it or not, I would actually rather be at Core working on everyone's game.
I would rather be here too. That's why I said, no, I'm coming to you this time. So we're going to go through what you call some practice stations here today. I think that's what you call it. And also try and figure out how you implement these when you go to do more practice and then on to the golf course. Our quote-unquote student today is the director of instruction out here, Dan Boisvert. So if you don't mind, Bill, just take us through a couple of these practice stations that you utilize here at Core. I'm going to be like a little fly on the wall, and we'll have a lot of video up on this too so you can see what we're talking about. But if you had Dan as a student here, I see you've got him standing on
what looks to be some kind of a stance aid or
yeah,
of
it's a
some
training
kind.
Aid, yeah, yeah. So the orange peel.
So as you start with Dan here, how would you take him through this first station and what is this all about?
One of the unique ways that we like to train people is based upon mindset. So, like, what are you working on? One of the most challenging parts of learning the game of golf is separating mechanics from shot making. But most people aren't fortunate enough to have a fundamentally sound golf swing to where they could just go out and hit shots and actually feel like they have control over their shots. So what Dan's going to do here today is a little bit of both. So we put people through what I call mechanical practice, and then we have like a completely different area where we call it battlefield practice. Mechanical practice is where they're working on their fundamentals or some people might call it their positions. I don't like to use that word too much, but just making a more mechanically sound golf swing. And you do that in reps, like you're kind of doing it at the gym. He might make 5 movements with a certain drill, and then he might come over and hit 3 golf shots, and then go back and make 5 movements again, and then come back and hit 3 golf shots. So they have a totally different mindset. One is what we call mechanical, one is what I call battlefield.
All right, well, why don't you take Dan through some of the mechanical steps here, and we'll just kind of listen and watch. And as I said, check out our website and you know, my Twitter feed at Hardy985. You'll see video of what it is that we're actually doing here today.
Yeah, perfect. That sounds good. So what Dan and I are going to work on right now, 2 things. His pivot, so the way he turns, along with where his arms need to be relative to his turn. So go ahead and set up, Dan, into your athletic position. That looks great. So let's do it without the ball first. Yep. And cross your arms, cross your shoulders. So right now he's going to maybe do this 5 times, rotate back. And we're using the orange peel to keep his weight more centered and him working around a center axis here. So Dan's going to rotate back, rotate through, and what he's feeling with this orange peel, because it's a little bit of a half moon here, that he's turning into his right side and rotating and staying centered.
The orange peel is actually a concave platform that he's set up on that, like you said, kind of helps with the weight distribution, but also seems to promote what I think is not so much a weight transfer, but really a focus on balance,
yep,
which seems to be the way the idea of the golf swing and the philosophy of making an athletic movement through the ball has gone in recent years.
Yeah, and it's teaching him how to stay a little bit more centered in his rotation. A lot of people have a lot of lateral movement. Hogan used to talk about turning in a barrel, like he felt like he turned in a barrel. So it's going to be very difficult for Dan to move laterally as he turns here. It's almost impossible, really, when you have the arch outside of your right foot and then outside of your left foot. So it's going to force him to stay centered.
Okay, so what's next, Bill?
So I might have him do 10 of those, and then I'm going to add the ball. So we call this the ball in front of the body drill.
This is a large ball that he's holding in his hands, not a golf ball.
So again, this is his mechanical station. So he's just going to do some drills here, do some reps, very similar to what you saw the sensei do in the Karate Kid, where he had him wax on, wax off, paint the fence, sand the floor. So he basically was trying to groove his movements by doing these drills. So when the sensei was having him do these drills, it was just building reps. That's what Dan's doing right now. He's thinking a lot. Now we're going to put the ball down. We're going to pick up the club.
Finally, is he going to get to hit a golf ball?
He's going to get to hit a ball, and typically this would actually be a faster process. We wouldn't usually go this slow, so I might have him do 3 or 4 of those and then hit a couple shots. Now, when we're in our mechanical station, we don't care so much where the ball goes, so he's not really trying to hit great shots right now. He's just trying to figure out what the feeling is.
Well, he hit a great shot anyway.
He's a good. he knows how to hit good shots regardless. So I'd have him hit two more balls. For this case, we'll just have him hit 1.
So essentially, you're using these training aids here in a very mechanical, almost like a sterile environment, even though we're outside, we're on the beautiful, you know, natural grass hitting area here at Core. But you're using these mechanical devices to try and ingrain the proper
perfect
feeling.
Perfect fundamentals.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And again, his mindset is into the way his body's moving. He's not caring about trying to hit a perfect shot. The challenge for most golfers is that they They get consumed with good results. And when you're consumed with good results, it's very difficult to make better fundamental changes in your golf swing. So right now, I literally have Dan set up in an area where I don't really care how he hits the ball. And after he hits this shot, we're going to move to another section to where he actually is trying to hit good golf shots.
Let's see if he can hit another good one again, even though he's on that crazy balance board.
Good. Really good. So he had a really nice rotation there. His hand stayed in front of his chest. He was more consumed with that versus consumed with hitting a good shot. Now we're going to move over to what I call the battlefield station. And I call it battlefield because when you're playing a round of golf, you put so much emphasis on the outcome and you're trying to perform and score well. So it's a totally different mindset. So right now I would have Dan take a practice swing, feeling what he is trying to work on, along with trying to feel the shot that he's trying to hit.
So when you're given lessons out here, this is the exact pattern you would do. A couple few shots using the aids, using the orange peel, using the alignment aids, and then right over to hitting an actual ball without any of that stuff in the way.
You got it. And again, it depends on the level the player's at or where they are fundamentally or how much time they have. But typically I might have them do a couple drills and then a few shots, a couple drills and then a few shots.
So let's see if it works.
So because right now, what kind of shot are you trying to hit there?
So I'm going to try to hit a fade. I'm going to try to start this about 15 feet left of my target and let it fall towards the pin.
Well, what's your target so I know if you did it or not?
So my target is this green flag about 160 yards out from us.
Okay. What club you got there? 160 yards. What, do you got a 3-iron?
I've got an 8-iron.
Oh.
Oh. All right. He talks an awful good game, Bill. Let's see if he can do it.
He can play. I'm not worried about Dan.
It appears the method works. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy with that one.
I'm pretty satisfied. So, we would maybe hit two or three of these, and then we go back and do another set of rotational drills and ball in front of the body. And this is specifically geared towards Dan. This is not something that everyone needs to work on. You know, everyone would have their specific thing to work on. They might do four or five reps of that and then a couple shots, and we would call that a set.
But as an overall philosophy, doing something with the instructional aids, doing something more mechanically minded, and then moving over almost immediately and taking actual shots with all that other stuff, that's still kind of the underlying philosophy. It might just vary in terms of what you're working on or what you're trying to accomplish.
100%. And I think the problem with most people is they get caught up between taking their mechanics and overthinking while they're playing around a golf. And that's where you can get into some danger. So we're trying to differentiate the mindset and allow someone to maintain their athleticism and not lose that when they're trying to improve their mechanics.
If you want to see a quick 30-second recap of what these two things look like, check out our website. Go to my Twitter feed, at Hardy985. You'll see the video up, and you'll get a chance to see Bill instructing Dan, who doesn't need a whole lot of instruction, I guess, at this point. At least he would have us believe. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense out here, Bill. And this is the type of stuff you guys do every day at Core.
Every day. And that's what makes it fun, and it makes it more enjoyable for the students.
Excellent. Bill McInerney, Core Golf in Natick, 218 Speen Street. Appreciate the time. Thanks again, Bill.
That was fun. Thank you, Hardy. I appreciate you coming out to our neck of the woods.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. But before we do, it's time for the 19th hole brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka, a real American vodka distilled 10 times. Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. The 19th hole is a place that I got a chance to visit. Well, you heard it earlier on the show, and I was out there earlier this season. The Shaker Hills Country Club, they've got this beautiful two-level outdoor patio slash deck slash bar area. And it's great for functions, and it's great for wedding receptions and corporate outings and anything you can think of. But it's just a great spot to have a drink after the round because, as I mentioned earlier, at Shaker Hills, you can see the convergence of two greens and two tee boxes, all the ones that really count, number one tee, number 10 tee, number 9 green, and number 18 green. And you can sit up on the deck or even down below on the patio and see all four while you were having your post-round drink. So that's our 19th hole, that whole outdoor area at Shaker Hills Country Club. That's our 19th hole of the week. I want to thank all of my guests, everybody out at Shaker Hills for having us out there. Thank you. Also, Paul Gazbekian from Equinox was talking about workouts in season. No more excuses. You can work out and play golf like couple of times in the same week. It's not going to hurt you. As a matter of fact, it's going to help you. So keep the workouts going while you're playing golf, I guess. And also Bill McInerney from Core Golf, our friends there in Natick, for taking us through all the drill stations and battle stations. And we'll be getting some video up of that shortly here so you can see what it looks like as opposed to just hearing it. And that's it. So any ideas, thoughts, comments, suggestions for the show, feel free to send them to me, Hardy, at 985thesportshub.com. That's my email. Or on Twitter, at Hardy985. We'll catch you again next week.